Welcome to Fast Intelligent Care, the podcast for occupational therapists who want to make a real impact. Every Tuesday, we bring you fresh ideas, clear insights, and practical solutions in assistive technology. Let's make smarter, faster, and more effective care simple. Your journey starts now. In our previous episode, we went through a few different frameworks that you can use to assess for a TRAS rate or a hoist. Well, one of those frameworks we used or mentioned was the PEO model, person, environment, occupation. Well, today's episode, we're just going to be focusing on environment. So we're going to look at a few key or essential dimensions that you need to consider when you're looking at if a hoist is going to be compatible with the person's environment or with other equipment that they have in their environment. If you've ever struggled with a hoist that just doesn't fit in a client's home or isn't safe for the client's weight, this episode is for you. We're going to look beyond just the lifting capacity, but we're going to talk about dimensions and features that are going to make or break a safe and efficient patient transfer. And we're focusing specifically on features and dimensions of the hoist. So why do dimensions matter? Let me ask you this. When you recommend a hoist, do you just look at its lifting capacity? For example, my client's 150 kilograms. It's a 200 kilogram hoist. Seems okay. Or do I think about how wide it is? Do I look at how far my broom reach is? So how far it can reach into the middle of the bed, and what it will fit through the narrow doorways, through their bedroom door, through their bathroom. These aren't small details. These are things that are going to keep my client and my caregiver safe and make sure that I can use my hoist safely within the environment that my client is in. Something that I've come across with hoist trials is where we have a hoist that doesn't have a sufficient lifting height. So we end up having to try and get the bed as low as possible, try and get the hoist as high as possible, but then we might still have the person still touching the bed and we don't want to have to drag them over the mattress because that's going to cause that friction and shear on the body, and we don't want to have that for pressure injury prevention. Another thing I've come across as well is where our sling bar, spreader bar, or yoke just doesn't reach low enough. So when we have to do a floor lift, we actually really struggle to get those sling loops attached to the spreader bar. And then it actually requires additional manual handling to get the client closer to that spreader bar to attach the loops, which is what we actually want to eliminate with our hoists. We don't want to have carers bending down towards floor level and having to try and lift up our client just to get the slings attached. We want to be able to very easily attach the slings without having to move the person much and be able to lift them with the hoist instead. One you would have probably come across as well is where we have to try and shimmy a hoist through a doorway or around furniture and then really struggling to get that spreader bar centrally located to the person. So we might end up having a spreader bar that's quite far away from the person. And then when they are lifted up, it's a little bit of a jerking motion where it's not a smooth movement. They kind of slung out of the chair. And that's not something we want because that's going to make the hoist unstable. It's going to increase the likelihood of the hoist tipping over, or it's going to make it quite uncomfortable and quite anxiety provoking for the client as well. So when we're looking at a hoist, we're not going to just look at cool features or the cost of the hoist. We're going to look at those dimensions that is going to make sure that it's compatible with the person's environment and compatible with their bed, their recliner, their power wheelchair, whatever they're going to be using. We want to make sure that those dimensions match. Otherwise, the hoist isn't going to be suitable. Now, the first dimension we start with is going to be our lifting height range. So this is going to look at how low can my spreader bar reach and what is its maximum reach. So can I reach all the way down to the floor to do a floor lift safely, attach things safely and easily? And can I lift the person high enough to get them out of a, let's say, mobile chair that's quite high or a power wheelchair without still being in contact with the seat or the mattress? We don't want to be dragging that person across that surface. We want to make sure there's good clearance. So we need to look at a hoist that can lift high enough that when I do lower my bed, I can actually get the person out of it. So especially if you're looking at a client that doesn't have that height adjustable bed or bed that can go almost all the way down to the floor, it's going to be really important that you choose a hoist that has a high lifting range so that it can lift really high so we can get good clearance. And you'll find that your mobile chairs or day chairs do have very high armrests, and in some cases it's actually quite difficult to remove those, or it doesn't have the capability to be removed, and we need to be able to transfer the person out of that chair without having them come in contact with the armrests, because that's also going to cause skin tears. So when you think of what your client needs, are they going to need to do a floor lift, and am I going to be able to attach my loops or clip attachments of my sling to this hoist, and can I lift high enough to get them off of their wheelchair, their power chair, mobile chair, and out of their bed? So whatever your client has, make sure that there is that compatibility. So when you're doing your trial, you might be end up doing quite a few different lifts, or you might need to do quite a few different measurements to make sure that you have that sufficient lifting height. The next one we look at is our lifting depth, or our broom reach. So when you look at a floor lifter or passive hoist, you have your mast and then you have your broom where your spreader bar or yoke or sling bar is attached to, which then has the slings attached to. So that broom needs to be of a sufficient length to make sure that we can reach the person easily. Now, if you have a very compact hoist, you might have a very short broom reach. Now, this could be a problem if you have a client that is in a bed bigger than a single. So even your king single, double, queen, king beds, it's going to be very difficult for that broom to reach to the middle of the bed to actually get to the client. And you might need to use manual handling to get them to the edge of the bed so that they are actually underneath that spreader bar. And that's going to require that additional manual handling. Or what's going to happen is you're going to attach your sling around the client. They're lying in the middle of the bed. And now when you attach your slings to your spreader bar, if you can imagine, they are in the middle of the bed and this broom just doesn't even reach towards the middle. Once that person's being picked up, they're going to kind of swing towards the hoist, and that's not going to be a comfortable transfer. So we want to make sure that we have a hoist that can sufficiently reach. You might also find that the hoist actually can get damaged if caregivers try and push the hoist as close as possible to the person. You'll typically have the actuator in the way, and you'll actually end up banging that actuator against the bedside, and we don't want to, or the bed railings, and we don't want to have that. We don't want to have damage to our hoist. So we want to make sure that it can sufficiently reach the person without having to really push it into the bed. Something you'll also find with a short broom reach is once you've lifted the client up, they're going to be quite close to the mast, and there's going to be an actuator there which they can come in contact with, or their head can get in contact with the mast, and we want to have a bit of clearance between the person and the mast because it could cause skin tears, especially if there's some sharp edges, and we don't want them accidentally kicking the actuator. So we want to make sure there's sufficient room that once the person is lifted, they're not too close up to the mast. Our next dimension we'll be looking at is our chassis width and our turning radius. Now, chassis width and turning radius is crucial for navigating those small spaces. You need something narrow enough to go through narrow doorways or narrow corridors, but you need it to also be big enough to be stable enough to be able to support the client's weight. So you might find that if you are having to look at a higher lifting weight capacity, you are going to have bigger chassis. So you might find that in your facilities, they do tend to go for the bigger hoist, the more safe working load hoist, because they do have sufficient space, because usually those facilities are designed to have more space or wider doorways for assistive equipment or assistive technology. But when you look at a home that isn't designed for that, you might need to go for a more compact hoist, but then you will be limited in terms of your safe working load. So just something to take into account, but we want to have a decent turning radius because it's just going to make it easier to maneuver within the person's home. Now, very important, we don't want to ever be moving the hoist with the person in it. We want to have our client very close to the surface that we're transferring to, but you are going to have to move a hoist from different rooms to be able to bring it to the client. And that's where it's going to be an issue. So especially if you're working in a community setting and a home care environment, the turning radius and chassis width is going to be quite important and can make or break a successful transfer. Now we'll look at leg spread and the leg design. So when we look at a hoist legs, there's going to be two legs that are going to be able to close in or spread open. Now, typically they're closed in when you're moving them towards a room because you want to make sure that it's a bit more compact so you can move it through the doorway and within a bathroom. But you're going to want to open those legs to either get access around furniture. So let's say it's a recliner chair. I want to be able to bring that hoist nice and close to the person. So what I end up doing is I open up the legs to bring that hoist nice and close to them. And also when we have the legs open, we are making the hoist a lot more stable because we're increasing our base of support. So we want to have the legs open when we're doing a lift and legs closed when we're moving the hoist around. We do have two different leg spread designs. You can get one where it's just a straight leg. So if you imagine just two parallel lines and then they can open up like a triangle, but then you can also get what we call a swan neck leg design. And this is where, especially towards the chassis, you'll find that the legs have a bit of a bend. And we call this a swan neck leg design. So what happens with this leg design is that we can have more space in between the legs without having to spread the legs too far. So we're not just looking at the distance at the very end of the legs, but also inside the legs. So very close to the chassis, you'll find that there's a bit of a bend there as well. And that really helps you to kind of wrap around furniture or wrap around chairs. But that's a really good option for someone that needs a compact hoist, but also does need sufficient space to go around furniture. And important, the closer you can get to your client, the safer the transfer is going to be, the easier your sling application will be as well. Next, we'll look at our caster size and ground clearance. Wheels or our casters are another overlooked feature. Big casters are going to make maneuverability a lot easier, especially over carpeted or uneven floors. But we also want to check ground clearance. If you have your legs too high, it's going to make it difficult to get access or fit underneath some beds or under some recliner chairs because there might be a bar under that furniture. But if we have it too low, we're not going to have as much ground clearance and it's going to make it more difficult to move over those thick carpets. Always take that into account. We want bigger casters for easier maneuverability. It's going to make it easier for carers to be able to push the hoist, which is going to reduce strain on their back and shoulders. But we also want to make sure that we don't have our legs too high that we can't fit underneath certain furniture. But it depends on what your client has. If they have a height adjustable bed or they have a recliner that has space underneath, or it's a wheelchair, you might be able to use something that has more ground clearance but can sufficiently fit underneath that furniture. And then an important thing as well is our hoist weight, as well as safe working load or weight capacity of the hoist. So hoist weight itself is a very big deal, especially if this is a hoist that you intend to be transportable, which we do get hoists that can be folded down or taken apart and actually use it to travel. So you can fold it down, put it into a carry case, and possibly even put it into the boot of a car or in a van, and then take it with you when you're traveling or when you're going to respite. But then the weight is quite important. We might require two people to lift it, or we might be able to use it like a trolley and then use a ramp to get it into the car, which makes it a lot easier. But important, if we have something that's compact and lighter weight, it's not going to have as high of a safe working load. Its lifting capacity is going to be lower. So your hoists that are more suitable for your bariatric clients or clients that have a higher weight, we're not going to have a compact hoist. So it's going to depend on your client's priorities and their weight as well. Thing to remember is lighter hoist, easier to transport, but you sacrifice possibly stability and you're sacrificing weight capacity. And always check your safe working load. If the client is not within the safe working load of the hoist, it is very unsafe to use it and that hoist isn't going to be functioning properly. There's no room for error with safe working loads. You'll find that some hoists even stop working if it does detect that it's picking something up above its safe working load. So you wouldn't even be able to lift the client high enough to be able to take them out of their bed or wheelchair. So very important, check your safe working load, make sure it matches your client's weight, and take into account as well, if you have a client that can fluctuate in weight quite regularly and quite quickly, especially your bariatric clients, try and go for a higher safe working load as well. And don't go too close to the safe working load. And some funding bodies actually require that you minus 10% from your safe working load to actually get your maximum capacity of the hoist. And that will be then the maximum weight that your client can be. So always check, especially your funding body, what they require, what is their regulations. Now we'll go through the top three mistakes that we could make with prescribing hoists. So some mistakes that we could make when we're looking at dimensions is only checking the lifting capacity and ignoring dimensions like lifting height, boom reach, leg spread, forgetting about the environment. So forgetting to look at all the equipment that the hoist is going to be interacting with. So things like your recliner chairs, your beds, and your wheelchairs or mogul day chairs. And also forgetting about things like tight spaces, like bathrooms, small bedrooms, carpets, and then also neglecting caregiver ergonomics. So selecting a hoist that doesn't have sufficient size casters, that's going to be difficult to maneuver, that the caregiver is going to struggle with and potentially cause an injury. And when you're working in tight spaces, foldable compact hoists are going to be a game changer. They're going to make it easy to store when they're not in use, gets them out of the way, especially if this is something that's not going to be used often. A very important takeaway from today is to measure your client's space, furniture, the equipment that the hoist is going to be interacting with before you look at hoist options, and then making sure that you're looking at the relevant hoist dimensions and know how to measure those and how to compare it with your environment. And our final takeaways from today's episode. Before you look at bringing a hoist out to the client's home, make sure you've asked these questions. Does it reach high enough to get out of the bed, out of their chair? Does it reach low enough to lift them from the floor? Do we have sufficient boom reach to reach the middle of the bed or to reach them in their chair? Can it navigate uneven floors, carpets, and how easy is it to maneuver? Do I have sufficient leg spread to go around furniture or around recliner chairs? And can it go narrow enough to go through my doorways? Will my caregivers be able to use it safely without straining? Does it match my client's body weight and their needs? We'd love to hear from you in the comments. Let us know how you've gone with hoist trials and if there's been any tricky situations or challenges or specific hoist dimensions that you found very important for success with prescribing hoists. In our next episode, we'll go through some work health and safety risks with using hoists in small spaces. Thanks for joining us on Fast Intelligent Care. We hope you're leaving with fresh insights and tools to make a real impact as an occupational therapist. If you've got questions or topics you'd like us to cover, we'd love to hear from you. Don't forget to subscribe and join us every Tuesday for more ideas and strategies to deliver smarter, faster, and better care. Until next time, keep making a difference.